Congratulations.
Coming up next, Unfiltered.
Unfiltered.
Right here on ICLU Radio. Welcome to Unfiltered.
Unfiltered is an entertainment program that is intended for mature audiences.
Unfiltered is recorded live and is aired at a later date.
Although Unfiltered intends to provide helpful general information,
statements made on the show are not intended to provide medical or psychological treatment. Unfiltered may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised. Dr. Goodwin, a.k.a. Dr. G, Director of Student Counseling Services at CLU, licensed psychologist.
I'm a lawyer.
Amanda Namba, queen of all things wellness at CLU.
Every time I see a sombrero, I think of a condom.
That's awkward.
Amanda Namba, master of all awkward moments. Katie Crabtree, our very own social media guru, wellness intern extraordinaire.
And she can teach you how to Dougie. Teach you how to Dougie.
Teach me how to Dougie.
Anyone know what this is? Class? Anyone?
Nina Kuzniak, mistress of sexual responsibility, wellness program intern.
And she's a smarty pants.
We have clearance, Clarence.
Roger, roger. What's our vector, Victor?
Hey guys, you are listening to Unfiltered, and today we are here with Dr. Goodwin, Nina, and Amanda. And today we're talking about, can you date a friend's ex?
The million-dollar question, all. Can you date a friend's ex? This is a big question out there. I think lots of people deal with this question all the time. So what do we think about it?
And can you maintain the friendship?
Yeah,
you can do it, but what's the impact?
Exactly.
What's the consequence?
And it's difficult because I feel like sometimes the people you date start off as friends and then you're kind of all in the same friend circle and then you develop feelings for other people and, I don't know, risky business.
It is risky business. For all the social media people out there, we posed this question on Facebook to see how CLU thought about this topic. And if you ever want to chime in, feel free to friend us on Facebook at CLU Wellness so you can also post your comments on there about things we're talking about. But we threw it out there for the Facebook world, and most of you think it's okay, which is surprising to all of us, I think. I think the norm is that we think that it's just this forbidden thing that you can't do. You could never date a friend's ex. But about 75% of you think that it's just fine to date an ex. So either CLU's way ahead of the curve or things are changing.
And Amanda, what was the information on that? There was a difference in the number of men and women, males and females in that?
Yeah. Right now, it's pretty split with people who think it's okay to date a friend's ex. We have a few more guys than the ladies. But for those who think that it's not okay to date a friend's ex, it is mostly women. It is mostly women throwing it out there that they wouldn't think it's okay. So,
is there like a statute of limitations, I wonder? Like, is there a time period where, you know, it's been over 2 months, it's been over 4 months, it's been over a year since you broke up? Is this a high school ex? Like, does that matter?
That's a good question, I think.
I think there's a big difference between going to your friend for consolation because you just broke up with your partner and finding out that they're now dating them. There's a big difference between that and finding out that your friend and your high school fling have a thing now, you know?
Absolutely.
And how long do you wait? And it raises the issue, how do you care for your friend? How do you maintain the friendship? You know, do you do that by waiting? Do you do that by never doing it? Do you do that by talking about it with them before you date their ex? Mm-hmm.
And if you can, I mean, I think sometimes it's okay to say, like, you know, I understand you have feelings for this person. However, this is going to impede in our friendship. You know, I understand that I have feelings for your ex or whatever, depending on where you are in the situation. Like, this can happen. These relationships can happen. But at the sake of what friendship? And if you're dating your friend's ex, then you have to understand that you're potentially putting your friendship on the line.
Mm-hmm. And doesn't it raise the issue, like, what kind of a relationship you have with that friend?
Right.
Do you guys talk openly about stuff? Mm-hmm. You know, and it might present an opportunity to really look at how you've approached the friendship. Are you guys talking about stuff?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And can I just throw it out there? Like, I think it depends on what that relationship entailed in the first place. So if you're thinking about dating your friend's ex, what does that ex mean? Were they dating and in a committed relationship for a long time?
Were they married?
Were they married? Were they just hookup buddies? Did they casually have sex a few times? Did they, you know, what was it? And I think that also affects if it's okay or not. I mean, that's my two cents. I don't know. I don't know if there's like a line where it's okay versus not okay.
I agree with you. I think that, you know, if it was like a serious relationship for like, let's say like 3 years or years, you know, for a friend observing that relationship, I feel like they might have known too much to like even consider maybe dating like such friend's ex. Mm-hmm. And there's so much history. And I just think that with such a serious relationship, it gets like murkier. You know what I mean? Like it just gets, it's too serious to jump in there and try to get another relationship out of it for like the friend observing.
Isn't there a chance that like you may already be like privy to things that you don't want to know or that you shouldn't know?
Right,
or
exactly.
That, like I was just thinking that. Like sometimes don't you feel like you're dating your friend's significant other sometimes?
Right.
I mean, not to like the intimate sense, but sometimes.
But sometimes to the intimate sex.
Right.
The intimate sense and sex. I mean, think of like the things that you and your friends talk about, you know, and relationship problems and, you know, it's like, do you really want to go into a relationship knowing all of the
issues and
the weaknesses that person presents?
Mm-hmm. Or like, I know she got flowers when they dated for a year. Or
like
a
so
month.
Much like comparing, like back and forth, like your relationship with this person and then like your friend's relationship with that person.
Yeah. And I think it raises the question of like, how do the people in the relationship deal with the problems? Because if they didn't recover, if there were ruptures in the relationship that they didn't really recover from because one of them behaved in a certain way that the other didn't like, and then the friend gets with that person and doesn't behave that way. You know, the people in the relationship never had a chance to repair that rupture. Mm-hmm. And then the person who's who's not in the relationship anymore may feel like, well, you know, you knew what to do and you didn't have the baggage of having screwed up before.
Oh.
You learned from me and then you betrayed me by dating my ex.
What if they're not exes yet? What if you find that you have like feelings for your friend's partner? And they may be having a tough time, and you may see that you could kind of wiggle in there. You decide, you know, these are all
wrong. I say that's wrong. That's just wrong on so many levels. I mean, I will be the first to say, you cannot control who you have feelings for and when. Like, things just spark when they can. But I think you can understand when it's appropriate and when it's not to act upon those feelings, to voice those feelings, to realize that that is totally inappropriate to even cross that line. And yes, that's a personal opinion, but I, no matter what bubbles up, you know, put a lid on it.
Doesn't it raise the question after, if it happens, if you date the friend's ex, you know, do you, if you want to keep the friendship, are you going to have to address that with your friend? That, you know, the friend I think would worry, oh, you always had feelings for this person.
Right.
And you were kind of angling all the time.
Right.
So we're going to take a little break from this. We have a call on line one. Our caller, and just as a reminder for everybody, when we take calls, we're trying to keep all of our callers anonymous just for the sake of everything we're talking about. So let's remember to do that if you ever call in. If you start to say someone's name, we'll cut you off in the most respectful way possible. But our goal is to keep everything anonymous here on Unfiltered. So our caller on line one is talking to a girl he wants to ask out. So caller one, are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, so thanks for calling in today. So we're talking about dating in general. So I think this will work for us. So talk to us a little bit about what you're calling about.
Well, this girl just got out of a long-term relationship at the beginning of summer. It was like 3 years long. And so she took a break for about a month, and we've been talking over summer. And I want to ask her out, but I'm worried if I ask her out, you know, and she says that she's still into her old boyfriend because she'll bring him up occasionally, that maybe then she's not, you know, she wouldn't be, I think at that point I just want to end it. So I was wondering, you know, what you think of whether or not I should ask her out. Should I wait longer and then make sure? Should I just take a break?
So can I ask a question? Do you know her ex?
No.
Okay. Well, that makes it a little easier for you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So what do we think, guys? So you said
that you dated her for that she dated her ex-boyfriend for 3 years, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a significant amount of time. She, you know, she devoted a significant amount of her time and her heart to him. So it's to be expected that, you know, that's not going to be an easy break. And sometimes, you know, in relationships, that person is simultaneously your significant other as well as your best friend and your confidant. So I don't know. I don't think that you should place expectations on her that it should be like an all or nothing. Like if you talk about him or if you bring him up or any of that, like we can't be together. I think that there can be a fine line of balance between dedicating yourself to one person in an intimate way and agreeing to be in a relationship while also like respecting what you had in the past, you know? That doesn't necessarily have to be like wiped clean to start with somebody else.
I agree. I think that, you know, a lot of who we are based off of past relationships and past experiences. So who she is today, you know, good or bad, is going to be based in large part of those past experiences, including that past relationship. So like Nina said, 3 years is a long time. So it's hard to expect that 3 years and then just breaking clean and never talking about this person again or never having effect on a person's life again is possible. So I think it's that fine line for you of, are you filling the role of someone who she wants to be with in a relationship, or are you filling a role of listening to her just be able to have a sounding board for not being in a relationship with this person anymore? So I think you need to, you know, find what you're comfortable with as well and what it's doing for other people.
Okay. I mean, I'm okay with her talking about him. It's not that. I just want to know that she is emotionally ready to move on.
Yeah, I think this is a really difficult thing. And I think what it brings up that's related to the other topic that we were talking about is relationships can have an impact on how we see ourselves. And so it can mean something if it seems like she's still, you know, wanting to be with him but not ready to be with you. It can feel like a competitive kind of thing. And I think in therapy... Yeah, well, in therapy, one of the things that we would look at is really what is the impact on ourself? You know, we don't have control over what the other person can do. And I think the reality for you is you really can't compete if she's still hooked on that guy. There's that history there that, you know, it's not about you. It's about whether she's ready to let that go. And I think being clear about that can help you just deal with whatever you observe in her. You know what I mean? About how tied she is to the thoughts of him and to the thoughts of maybe still being with him.
Can I just say go for it? I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah.
Like, ultimately, it just all you can do is try, mm-hmm. right? So if you try things on and it doesn't work, and if it's not working, you're not committing your life to this person.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
you have to give her the appropriate time to figure it out. But with that, we want to thank you for calling. You can hang on the line if you have more to talk about. Otherwise, we have to take a quick commercial break, so we will see you in just a minute.
We're all searching for the right place. Because we know it's not just about classes and exams. It's about transforming our view of the world. This is California Lutheran University, where the world comes to us. With students from more than 40 countries, we keep our minds open about ideas, about people, about faith. This is a place where state-of-the-art is part of the everyday. A place of fierce competitors and die-hard fans. Every class we take at CLU is taught by a professor, not a teaching assistant. And we get to debate the big questions in a small setting. We intern at the nation's top companies. And when we leave CLU, we redefine what it means to have a fulfilling career. We pursue our passions to discover our purpose and propel the kind of change that transforms our community and the world. We're part of a community where living and learning are integrated, and we recognize that the greatest ideas often happen outside the classroom, and the best memories are made at a place where we belong. We belong at California Lutheran University.
Radioactive Rock. Mondays and Wednesdays at 7. I'm Cassidy, and Radioactive Rock means Linkin Park. It means Muse. It means the Black Keys, and that's just the beginning. So, Mondays and Wednesdays at 7, I'm Cassidy playing Radioactive Rock on ICLU Radio.
Hey guys, we're back with Unfiltered on ICLU Radio. Dr. G, do you want to jump in on that next topic?
Yeah, and I think that was a great question the caller gave to us. You know, what it brought up is, again, when you're in a relationship, it stirs up all this stuff about how you feel about yourself. And if you're feeling rejected, for instance, you could feel rejected because you think the person that you want to date is still hooked on the other person that they were dating. And, you know, you're feeling like you're not good enough. But by the same token, if you're dating your friend's ex, your friend could feel that way, that this is like communicating that, you know, you're better than your friend is because now you've kind of beaten them. You've gotten their ex. And that's the way that the relationship with your friend could become ruptured. And, you know, if you don't repair that, you know, you lose the friendship.
I think you just need to go into these sort of situations understanding that things are, like, emotions are involved. This is pulling on people's heartstrings, and weigh what's most important to you. Is this potential relationship, you know, are you looking at your friend's ex as your future life partner, or are you looking at them and saying, wow, if I see you at the party this weekend and we happen to get a little drunk, I'm totally down to hook up. You know, like, there's a difference between the two, and it's what you're willing to sacrifice, I guess, because either way you're going to be sacrificing something, and either way hearts are going to hurt, and either way emotions are going to be involved. Now, are these going to be detrimental to the friendship forever? Are they repairable? I don't know. That is situational, but you have to go into it with a clear understanding that there will be repercussions.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to throw this out there. So I think a lot of times when we think about relationships, there's all different things that are thrown into it. But so is this the same if it's like same-sex partners that we're dealing with here? So, like, does it make a difference who's dating who and the different circles we're in? And, you know, I'm just tossing it out. What's happening out there? Is it okay?
I think there's no question it's different. If it's a same-sex relationship, it's not always different, but it can be. Mm-hmm. And I think there probably are differences depending on whether it's a female, all-female relationship or an all-male relationship. Mm-hmm. That the standards can be different. And also culturally, you know, the way that you support your friend, if you're dating your friend's ex, it's very likely to be different. It would feel supportive for you to do one thing for one friend, but maybe if you're in a different culture, you would need to do something really different mm-hmm. before you would date your friend's ex.
I think it's totally different in the girl world, and I can only speak to that, but I don't know. I feel like you're picking friends and sexual partners out of the same pool, and then when you're done with them, you just toss them back in the same pool and pick out somebody else. And that doesn't say that, like, you know, that female same-sex relationships aren't valid and stable and wonderful, but I feel like the dynamics of them can be very different than heterosexual relationships. I think it's more rare to find a best friendship that is a man and a woman. I think it's a lot more common to find a best friendship that is a woman and a woman. So when you have a best friendship between two women who also are interested in sleeping with women, those lines just get really blurry. And
so are you saying that it's more of a bro code than can you date a friend's ex? Is it more of like is it a bro code, that thing that's thrown out there quite a bit that can mean lots of things, but I know that lots of people call this the bro code, right? Like, you're never going to date your friend's ex because dudes just don't do that to other dudes. Like, is that something that I don't know. Is there a version of the girl code?
I've heard that there is. I've heard that there is, but I also think that girls deal with confrontation and situation like that differently. I think that girls can get catty and
so catty,
vicious and awful,
so
and
vicious
and wicked and mean and terrible. Whereas with guys, it's kind of like this unspoken agreement, and then if you do it, it can definitely harm the relationship. But with girls, I mean, you can potentially have the entire girl world against you, mm-hmm. and then you're in a world of pain.
Such pain.
Yes. Then you're out of the pack.
Oh, gosh. The pack.
But it's so, you know, Nina, what you were talking about before is so important about same-sex female relationships oftentimes really being very different, very stable, and, you know, drawing from the same pool. And yet it's more of what you were saying that I heard is that you can be friends with your ex and be in a relationship, and all of it can be mixed up together, and it works out okay because people are caring about each other. I know there are exceptions. It's not always true. But
yeah.
There are so many female relationships that involve, you know, being with a friend's ex, and everybody's still friends.
Yeah, or an ex's friend, or being friends with your ex and then dating their friend. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's too many levels.
It's true.
But I think it does get back to this idea, what does it mean? You know, where does the bro code come from? And maybe it does mean something, usually more for a man than for a woman.
So we're going to keep talking about this and keep talking about it and keep talking about it. But we wanted to remind you guys of some ways you can keep connected with us during the show. You're listening to Unfiltered here on ICLU Radio, and we're so excited to be here with all of you. If you wanted to keep connected with us, wanted to throw out some ways, you can always do so. You can always call in during our show at 805-703-ICLU. That's the best way to call, and we are willing and would love to hear you between 11:30 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. on Wednesdays. We'll take your call. In order to figure out what it is that we're talking about, make sure you friend CLU Wellness on Facebook, throw your comments up on there, and then also follow us on Twitter at CLU Wellness, and it would be great if you could throw your comments out on there.
And all of these kinds of issues are things we deal with at the counseling center, because this stuff brings up really important, meaningful reactions for everyone, for men, for women. They're different, though, and they're so often different depending on the culture you're coming from. And those are the kinds of things we work on in therapy with people individually, and also in couples and in groups. And if you want help from student counseling, remember that our phone number is 493-3727, which is 3SCS, Student Counseling Services. And it's absolutely confidential and absolutely free for students at CLU.
And you guys just moved, right?
We did. We moved. We're on Luther. We're on 3222. Did I say three twos? 3222. Luther.
The house right next to Health Services.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Which, thanks for saying that, because our sign isn't up yet. We're waiting for our sign still.
Yeah. So we love social media with wellness. We're trying to get on the bandwagon thanks to Katie's expertise, who can also teach you how to Dougie. But beyond that, we're trying to get on the social media bandwagon. And we threw this question out there into the social media atmosphere to see what people had to say. And some of the comments that we heard back from some people around CLU, they were all pretty much negative towards the topic of dating a friend's ex. So, you know, we heard back from people, and it's completely anonymous, saying things from, no, don't go there, it's not nice, to dating your friend's ex will always cause problems no matter how much they say it's okay, which I think is also something to think about. So you have your friend that says, yeah, it's fine, my feelings are done, the relationship's been there, done that, I have no feelings for them anymore, go right ahead, you have my, you know, quote unquote blessing, and then it still causes problems. You know, is it just inevitable that it's going to cause something? Whether or not it's going to be 100% detrimental to the friendship, I think there's always going to be a tiny little bit of angst just among the three people that are involved. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that that's just reality.
And it's hard to know, because that blessing can really come with a curse. You have to know your friend.
I think, like you said earlier, you have to have very good communication skills with that friend.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you know, and they say yes, that's totally okay, but, you know, later, and you know your friend so well, and you can just tell that, you know, they're not okay with it.
Yeah.
You just have to be completely honest with each other if you really want it to work out.
But there's something to be said for the fact that, like, we fall for people because we know them, and we date people, and we find ourselves to be interested in people because we know them, and we know their personalities, and we see them, and I think it's very rare that you're just walking through Sprouts and you look across the produce section and then you fall in love, you know, and you know,
your eyes lock over zucchini.
Right. Yeah. As, yeah. And, you know, we fall for these people regardless of whether they are our friends or our ex's friends, because we know them and because we find things compatible. And, you know, that's not to be discounted, I think.
Yeah. But that's really helpful for me, because it takes me back to something that I think you said before, Nina, which is, you know, well, maybe, I'm not sure if you said it or someone else, but you fall for people because they're your friends. But then there's the whole other thing of the mean girl phenomenon and how is that exhibited? And, you know, we know the reality is women and men may date their best friend's ex just because it's kind of a competitive thing. Mm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the friendship gets ruptured really for a good reason, because your friend really wasn't behaving like a friend. They were wanting to take what was yours, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it raises the question, what are you looking for if you're looking to date your friend's ex? And really look carefully in the mirror. What's it about for you? You know, especially if you're feeling an attraction while they're still together and maybe having trouble.
Yeah, and I think I think that this is just going to, for the end of time, be one of those topics that it really is just situational, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Katie and I were chatting with some people the other day, and we were talking about the topic of this upcoming show, and it raised such opinions in the short amount of time that we talked about mm-hmm. it that it was unbelievable. And most of them were very strongly, oh, gosh, I have no idea. Oh, I've always wanted to do that, but it's just something you never do. And it was just so surprising how strong people's feelings are towards this one topic. And it's just something that we continue to do. So more to come right here on Unfiltered on ICLU Radio right after the break.
We're all searching for the right place, because we know it's not just about classes and exams. It's about transforming our view of the world. This is California Lutheran University, where the world comes to us. With students from more than 40 countries, we keep our minds open about ideas, about people, about faith. This is a place where state-of-the-art is part of the everyday, a place of fierce competitors and die-hard fans. Every class we take at CLU is taught by a professor, not a teaching assistant. And we get to debate the big questions in a small setting. We intern at the nation's top companies. And when we leave CLU, we redefine what it means to have a fulfilling career. We pursue our passions to discover our purpose and propel the kind of change that transforms our community and the world. We're part of a community where living and learning are integrated. And we recognize that the greatest ideas often happen outside the classroom. And the best memories are made at a place where we belong. We belong at California Lutheran University.
Hey guys, we're back on Unfiltered on ICLU Radio. So next topic we're going to kind of touch on is, how do you communicate with a friend, you know, if you really hate their boyfriend or their girlfriend, or, you know, you saw them do something kind of, you know, sketchy at a party or something that, you know, concerns you for your friend's wellness? How do you have that conversation with them? Do you even tell them?
Yes. No. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm always a little bit too honest with people. But when you're in the situation, it's definitely different. I think I personally think that, just as like my own moral code, I would be able to say something to a friend. But when you're in that situation, it is so difficult, because right. It's not only what you think that you need to tell your friend. Ultimately, you're thinking about your friend's feelings after that conversation mm-hmm. occurs. So it's huge. So what do you do if you just can't stand the person that your friend's in a relationship with? And I guess beyond that, if they do something that you witness that your friend needs to know about.
Mm-hmm. You need to come at this considering, like, your motivations for approaching your friend. You know, like, going back to our prior topic, like, are you are you nitpicking your friend about their partner because at the end of the day, your idea is because you, that you want to break them up for what? Because you miss your friend in your life? Because you think mm-hmm. that they're too devoted to their partner? Because you have feelings for the partner? Does this have anything to do with you? Because at the end of the day, if this is a reflection on yourself, then you're doing it for the wrong reasons anyway, you
right.
know?
What are your motivations
absolutely.
For right. doing it?
Yeah, absolutely. Doing it,
yeah, absolutely, with what you said, like, because you miss your friend or actually because you really care about your friend's well-being.
And I wonder if a way to especially relate it to what we're talking about is, what if you perceive your friend's partner to be making a pass at you? Or what if they do make a pass at you?
Happens every day to me. I'm just kidding, obviously.
Do you tell your friend later?
But actually...
what do you do, Amanda, when that happens?
Well, what about when you're in a relationship and somebody makes a pass at you? What if you're in a relationship and your partner's friend makes a pass at you?
Mm-hmm. I know. Do you tell? That's okay. You're right. Not like this has ever happened to me. But what, you know, you're right. You're in a relationship. You're in a committed relationship. You're hanging out with your significant other's friends. And all of a sudden, they make a pass at you and your significant other has no idea that it happened. Do you even do that? Because then the whole topic is broached of like potentially ruining their friendship, mm-hmm. which you know at that point,
what is kind of true relationship? Yeah. How good of friends are they really?
Right.
You model the behavior that you would want your partner to have, which in the same sentence with friendships, you model the behavior that you would want your friend to have.
Exactly.
In your friendship. Mm-hmm. You model the behavior you would want your partner to have. So if it's important to you that your partner is upfront and honest with passes made at them, especially if they're passes from your friends onto your partner, I would want to know.
Right.
Therefore, I would respect them enough to tell them.
Well, because life isn't always easy, right? We all know that. So there's going to be things that come up in life that create challenges for all of mm-hmm. us, that create heartache, that we have to work through. And you know, having that conversation could potentially be one of those moments where you're hurting the person you're in a relationship with, but it's for every good intention and it's being honest with them. And so I think it's weighing the, you know, do I hurt them? Do I let it fall by the wayside? And ultimately, I have to agree with Nina, honesty. If you're not honest in your relationship, then how solid is the relationship that you're in?
Mm-hmm. Well, and we are sexual beings. We, regardless of our level of attachment or commitment to another person, if that's marriage, if that's whatever, like, we may be in Sprouts and see somebody over the zucchini that we find very attractive, you know? And so to go through life and to go through relationships thinking like, well, now I'm committed, so I will never feel attracted to anybody else ever. And nobody will ever be attracted to me because I'm committed. That's mm-hmm. That's irresponsible, almost. That's neglectful of your relationship. So to fail to acknowledge that, you know, you're behind the curve anyway. So if you can acknowledge it and set boundaries for your relationship where you're saying, these are the things we're going to talk about, this is how we're going to handle it when it comes up, then you're so much better prepared for these situations anyway.
And thinking back to some past relationships that I've had, I just wonder, why the heck did my friends not tell me that the guy I was dating was so terrible? Honestly. Like, you get so consumed with the relationships that you're in that sometimes you're just so far inside that bubble that you can't see what is happening outside of there. So, you know, after that relationship's done and my friends or even my family have said, oh, thank God you're not with him anymore. He was terrible. Well, what the heck were you doing for the past year? Like, why didn't you tell me that before? I don't know. My own personal thought.
Yeah. Don't you think it brings up the issue of, like, how do you communicate loyalty to somebody? You know, do you, if you're telling, I think if your intention is good, what you're trying to do is really show caring for that person that you really care about. Mm-hmm. And, but it doesn't always feel that way, right? Sometimes it feels like, you know, because of your own agenda, because you don't like your partner's friend.
Right.
You know, that you're just, you know, saying bad things about them. And if it feels like your partner's coming at you that way because you just don't want to hang out with that friend and you never liked that friend.
Right.
You know, then it's more likely to cause a problem in the relationship. As opposed to, I really care about you and I'd be a little careful about that friend because mm-hmm. I think he, you know.
Well, right, because there's that line of just, there's going to be people in your partner's life that you just might not get along with, right? And so it's, how often do you talk about that? Is it really causing problems in your relationship? Are they doing things that work negatively towards your relationship? But maybe there's just that person in your partner's life that
they've been friends for forever, for so long, and you just can't understand why.
But, and so you bite the bullet because there are people in your life that your friends, that your other friends don't like, that your partner isn't going to like. You know, there's a reason why everybody hates mothers-in-law. I guess it's
I
not
love
mother-in-laws.
Mine.
And that's great.
No.
But, I mean, there's, like, there is so, you know, movies that are made about it, whatever. Like
Monster-in-law.
Monster-in-law. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. J-Lo.
Mm-hmm. Jane Fonda.
It's true. There's just people out there. We're not set up, and Dr. G, please help me here, but we are not set up to like everybody. If we did, this world would be so boring, right? I mean, it would be nice. It'd be so healthy. It'd be awesome. But why would you want to, you just can't. There, we have so many different personalities out there. But we
Right.
Okay, I mean, so we started this conversation talking about if, if the friend flirts with you. Are we talking about a mother-in-law flirting with you? I'm not, this is a whole different.
That should definitely be a conversation that you have with your partner if your mother-in-law is coming on to you. But, oh. Oh, sorry.
I just went in a whole other direction.
Did it just get hot in here?
Not just a whole nother. I mean, that's just terrible.
Okay, didn't you just say that? Didn't you say if your mother-in-law was making a pass at you? That didn't just fall into my head.
Somehow the mother-in-law entered into the conversation.
I blame Nina.
I'm going to excuse myself. Thank you so much.
I more so meant if you just don't get along, not if all of a sudden feel this attraction. There's more things you need to talk about then.
How about all of the above? All of the above are inappropriate. All of the above have conversations. And at the end of the day, communicate. You're communicating whether it's with your partner, whether it's with your best friend about their partner, whether it's with your mother-in-law, whatever. Communicate. We're communicating, and that's avoiding, you know, long-term problems, I think.
Mm-hmm. And relationships are hard. That's what people keep saying. Yeah. It's true.
Well, like what you were saying, I think people just not getting along, I think I related that back to like, well, no one, not everyone is going to like each other. Not everyone's going to go along. So when you have a really good friend and you hate their boyfriend or girlfriend, you know what I mean? I just think that like, you're not going to like everyone. So often that situation might come up for you and you might have to like deal with that.
And you have to do some internal processing
of
what's actually happening within yourself of why you have this feeling towards that person. I mean, there could be little things that they do that just bug the heck out of you, and you just have to deal with it. I mean, there's things that bug us about everybody, but, I mean,
I think that's the key.
Yeah.
I think, are you taking, and one other way of putting that is, am I taking care of myself in saying this to my partner, or am I taking care of them? And I think what we're talking about is if you're coming from the place of taking care of them, I'm not sure this friend really is reliable, you know, really cares about you, then you're in a whole different place other than, I really don't like hanging out with this friend of yours, you know?
Absolutely. So just a reminder, call us at 805-703-ICLU Wednesdays from 11:30 to 12:30 and give us your opinion on what the topic of our show is that day. But anyway, would you like to keep talking about this, guys? Or
I was just
going to
say something. You know, when relationships get ruptured, the other issue is Amanda was talking about the intrapersonal stuff you have to look at. What's it bringing up for me? It's also interpersonal. And one of the like fundamental ideas in couples counseling is that, and it's true for friendships true too, if you're having a conflict with somebody, if one of you at a time can commit to listening to the other and really understanding what the other's experience is, it works better. And then the other has to commit to that. And the whole idea of that is each of you, no matter what is going on, each of you has a valid perspective. Each of you has real reactions that are valid. And that's a way to get at them.
And if you guys have any questions about any sort of relationship issues, obviously we like to talk about it. So feel free to call in. Again, our number is 805-703-ICLU. That's 805-703-4258. And, yeah, we love talking about this stuff. So we have topics, general topics for each show. But call in at any time between 11:30 and 12:30 if you want to chat about anything.
So this whole topic that we're kind of surrounding this week has made me start thinking about what if it's just that person, guy or girl, who just seems to make its way around your circle of friends? Like, what's up with that person? You know, so then the topic of dating your friend's ex just is spread everywhere because
they're dating so many people within your circle of friends. So, Katie, I think you said a story about that before.
Yeah.
And it just, I mean...
No, it was the, like, most bizarre thing ever. A friend in high school, male friend, got around my little group of girlfriends in high school. And it was the most bizarre situation I think I've ever been in with a friend, because I was like, what is your deal? Why do you just keep hopping around everywhere? You know, it was just so ridiculous. I kind of lost a little bit of respect for that person, I think, because it just didn't make a lot of sense. And
well, and then how can you not compare what's happening within your relationship
right.
to what happened with people that are so close to you?
Absolutely.
I mean, you try so hard in general not to compare your relationship with those around you, even if you have never dated any person in that relationship before. But when you're close friends with them and you just know their typical moves of what it is to expect in a relationship, man, I don't even know.
Okay, but I feel like there's a big difference, and this is something that, I don't know, I've always felt this way, but there's a big difference between dating and being in a relationship.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
and my, at least my peer circle and my friend group, like, uses those things synonymously, and I don't think that's the case. And I don't know, at least with my parents' generation, people dated. Like, you took people out on dates and you got to know them, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you slept with them, but you got to know them. And then at the end of the night, it wasn't assumed that you guys were monogamous, and it wasn't assumed that you were all of a sudden involved in a sexual relationship. So is there a difference between dating and relationships now? Or when you say we're dating, does that mean that we are in a relationship? And there's a big difference between somebody who says, I want to date, I want to get to know people, and, you know, we are dating, or I'm getting around. Those are all big different topics. So,
and we're going to pick up on this right after another brief break. We'll pick up on the same talk.
Keys, and that's just the beginning. So, Mondays and Wednesdays at 7, I'm Cassidy playing Radioactive Rock on ICLU Radio.
We're all searching for the right place, because we know it's not just about classes and exams. It's about transforming our view of the world. This is California Lutheran University, where the world comes to us. With students from more than 40 countries, we keep our minds open about ideas, about people, about faith. This is a place where state of the art is part of the everyday, a place of fierce competitors and diehard fans. Every class we take at CLU is taught by a professor, not a teaching assistant, and we get to debate the big questions in a small setting. We intern at the nation's top companies, and when we leave CLU, we redefine what it means to have a fulfilling career. We pursue our passions to discover our purpose and propel the kind of change that transforms our community and the world. We're part of a community where living and learning are integrated, and we recognize that the greatest ideas often happen outside the classroom, and the best memories are made at a place where we belong. We belong at California Lutheran University.
And we're back. You're listening to Unfiltered on ICLU Radio. And remember, at any time between 11:30 and 12:30 on Wednesdays, call us in with any sex relationship-related questions. Our number is 805-703-ICLU.
And that we don't care if it's other things other than sex and relationships.
Healthy living.
Yeah. Anything.
Yeah.
Alcohol questions.
We'll talk to you about anything.
Well,
Most things.
Anything that could affect your emotional health, right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. G. Yes.
So that's why we have
so well spoken.
And he's a lawyer, too. Okay, so we are talking about the difference between dating and being in a relationship. And is there a difference between, or I guess, can you these days date people without being labeled a slut and without becoming sexually involved with all of them? You know, is there a difference between dating and being like Facebook a fish?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because we started talking about this. You were just saying slut. We started talking about it because Katie was talking about a guy who was, I guess, maybe perceived that way.
Yeah. He's, yes.
A glut? Man. What's a guy slut? A glut?
A glut.
I don't know if I can say this, so I'm not going to. A man whore?
Yes.
Like, yeah. Okay.
We can say that here.
Okay. Man whore.
I personally like glut, though.
Yeah. I like that.
Glut. Oh, Dr. G, you're on something.
Okay. Can I tell you the word that I heard the other day to refer to like a hookup buddy? A slammy?
A slam.
Have you heard that before?
This is new to me.
No. This was new to me,
too.
Talk about it. So apparently it's someone that you can, like, hang out with, that you're friends with, and that you also occasionally...
slam.
Fornicate with. Called your slammy. Like, that feels like a number two on the Burger King menu. Like, doesn't it? Okay. So anyway, going back...
Can I supersize that?
Dr. G just turned red. Everybody.
I'm not joining.
I love it. Okay.
But I do think it does say something. If you're calling it slamming, it's has a different connotation than like making love.
It takes out all the emotional. Yeah. I mean, that's what I think. And maybe that's just because, I'm sorry, maybe because we're a little older. But no offense. It just, I feel like, where's the emotion in that? Mm. I mean...
I don't think people that are looking for hookups are looking for emotion, though.
No. Well, like you said, you know, like dating, like casually, but I feel like, especially, well, it might have just been like not my group in high school, but just like maybe the age group. It's like when you date someone, you're hooking up with them. You know, you're not actually like going out on dates with them. Like, I don't see that a lot. I don't see like people going out, oh, I'm going to go out on a date with this person, see how it goes, you know, whatever.
And how wonderful would that be?
Right.
It would
be fantastic.
I think I was born in the wrong generation.
I thought you were in my mom's generation.
Oh, stop it. I'm just saying, like, I think that I was born in the wrong generation because I think that that is just the sweetest thing. And I mean, then it takes out all of that pressure of... what is supposed to happen at the end of this date? Or what is supposed to happen? Why can't you just go out to dinner with someone, go out to coffee with someone?
And just get to know them.
It doesn't involve alcohol. It doesn't involve needing to reach, like, a certain level of intoxication before you can think about getting into a slamming situation with them. I just feel like...
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're going on one of these dates. Do you feel the same way about it with your best friend's date from, you know, the night before or the week before?
What do you mean?
Your best friend is, you know, Janie.
Yep.
And Janie dated Bob, went on a date with Bob Thursday night.
Uh-huh.
You feel fine doing it Friday night with Bob? And you and Janie could maybe talk about it on Saturday?
So, like, if we were dating the same person?
Yeah.
I think that I just am such a wuss when it comes to any sort of complications in friendships or relationships. Like, I like everything so copacetic and just not making waves that I think that that gets so tricky. I mean, I understand how people can date multiple people at once, and I mean, it's just a way that you can, or you could at one time, casually try and figure out if you liked somebody without committing to something too permanent. But I just like things calm and easy, and I feel like if you're dating people that your friends are dating, that is not calm and easy.
I would never date somebody that my friends are also dating, just because that's too much complication for me personally. But I did it. Like, I dated.
Mm-hmm.
I dated my girlfriend before we started actually, like, officially being in a relationship. And it was so refreshing, and that's the first time I had ever done it. And, like, I went into it saying, like, this is what I want to do. We need to go to coffee. We need to go to dinner. Let's talk. Let's get to know each other. But then you get to have those, like, really wonderful, crucial conversations where you say, like, can this be it? Like, can we commit to each other? Are we going to be monogamous? Are we? Mm-hmm. And then those things aren't expected. And, you know, when you sit down and you have a conversation with someone and you say, can we be sexually monogamous? right there, that's clear cut. Neither one of us are having sex with anybody other than each other. So there's never that fishy situation of, oops, I'm also sleeping with someone else. Right. Surprise.
Absolutely. We have a caller on line one. Caller, are you there? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, caller. Thanks for calling in. What's going on today?
Sure. Yeah, you know, I just wanted to say that, you know, when guys take girls out on dates, it doesn't always have to end in sex. It can end in, you know, going back to the, you know, whoever's house and watching a movie or, you know, watching TV. You know, for instance, one of my dates was, you know, at the end of it, I took a girl up to go watch a meteor shower at the night.
How cute are you? That's awesome. I love that. I would want to go on a date with you if that wasn't totally inappropriate.
and it didn't end in sex, and it doesn't have to.
I like that. I agree. I think that there's such weird expectations that are placed on the whole dating scene right now, and I think that dating without any sort of sexual activity at the end of it should still be considered normal today and should still happen. Mm-hmm. I think that it gets so crazy when you bring sex into the mix that, yeah. You know, even if you don't know if you're supposed to be in a relationship with somebody, if you start being sexually intimate with that person, all sorts of emotions get thrown into the mix. Mm-hmm.
So, caller, at the end of that, date, were you and said girl on the same page as far as, like, did you end the date and she expected that you guys were in a relationship? Or was it just ending the night and that was fine?
No, the end of the date was just the end of the date. And, we had further dates from there. But, no, we had no expectations at the end of the date. And that was our first date, actually.
And that's great. And I think that that's another thing, too, is, like, people end these things. And because people aren't communicating and they're not talking about anything, and maybe they're sleeping together or maybe they're not, but they're just not talking about anything, is that all of these assumptions are made. We're sleeping together. We're not sleeping together. We're official. We're not official. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for calling in. I think that that's where it gets tricky, right? I mean, if you're dating somebody and both of you are on different pages about what it is that you're doing,
that's so bad.
It goes back to that honesty thing and communication. If you guys are on totally different pages of what's happening there, someone's bound to get hurt, right?
And I wonder what all this means on a small campus like ours, on the subject that we started with. You know, how many dates is too many dates for you to consider dating your friend's date?
Uh-huh.
You know, at what point would you not do that? It mm-hmm. still raises the same really difficult questions. And on a small campus, I think it's inevitable that some people may be perceived the way this guy that Katie knew was perceived, that, mm-hmm. you know, this man or woman dated a bunch of different people. And I think it raises the question, what we're talking about now, is that okay? Mm-hmm. What if there isn't sex involved? Is it any, you know, less of an offense to date a whole bunch of people?
Right. Does it change things up at all?
I also think it's important to consider that some people aren't out for relationships and some people are out for sex, and that's okay. And I think mm-hmm. that, you know, I don't know, I would consider myself a sex positive person in the sense that these are things we need to be talking about. But as long as it's being had safely, sex is fine. As long as it's consensual, sex is fine. And if you're out to hook up and someone else is out to hook up, that's okay. They don't need to happen in the confines of a relationship or the confines of a very serious conversation about monogamy, but they need to happen inside the confines of a conversation, as long as that's one that involves consent and that's one that involves we're both on the same page as far as safety goes and expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're just out to hook up, if you're out to have fun with somebody, that's okay. If you have a slammy, be safe about it. Have conversations about where this is going so you don't end up completely off track where one person is expecting a ring and the other mm-hmm. person is like, whoa, dude, you're
thanks
just my
last
slammy.
Night.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think that it just goes back to the expectations. Like, mm-hmm. what are you doing? And are both of you totally aware of what it is that you're doing?
And be safe and get tested.
I think in our society, when sex enters into it, it just raises everything to a different level with regard to what we've been talking about whether you can date your friend's ex or that this person that your friend had sex with. Mm-hmm. I think it takes it closer to the ex category, even if they were just dating, mm-hmm. you know, and they weren't monogamous.
Completely agree. Completely. Well, so we want to give you guys a little teaser of some things that we're going to talk about next week on the show. And again, as we've stressed throughout the show, feel free to call in with anything you'd like to talk about, anything you have questions about, want to voice your opinion. We'd love to hear from you 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on Wednesdays here on ICLU Radio. Our phone number, one more time, is 805-703-ICLU. And we wanted to give you a little insight.
Teaser.
Yeah, thanks. A teaser of what we're going to talk about next week. And as you can tell here, it'll probably lead to lots of other things that we'll talk about. And that's what we really enjoy about the show, is that anything can come up. We're unfiltered as to what we'll talk about, and we'll keep you guys on your toes. But next week, we're going to talk about just those situations that you're in, and you just can't stop dating people that are bad for you or that are mean for you. It's just this perpetual cycle that you are in relationships, or you date people that are just totally unhealthy for you.
That your friends just don't like.
Right. Yeah. Are you always stuck in the friend zone?
Mm, right.
Do you always get to a certain point with somebody that you're kind of digging, and do they say like, oh my God, you're like my big brother. Are you tired of being the big brother? Why are you the big brother? Don't be a big brother.
Yeah. Or if you keep going back to an ex, you know, when you know that it's just not going to go anywhere and it's not a healthy relationship, why do you keep going back?
Yeah. Sometimes we make a lot of crazy decisions in relationships, so we'll be talking about all the craziness that goes along with that.
Mm-hmm. So we hope to hear from you next week.
And also remember that if any of these issues are issues that you're struggling with, remember you can come to Student Counseling Services, and you can call us to set up an appointment at 493-3727 right on campus.
We're so excited that you joined us for our first show this week. And remember, we're here just to broach these topics, be able to start conversations about them, be able to actually talk about things that people don't talk about on a daily basis. So we would love to hear different topics that you want to hear from us as well. So just some further ways to stay connected. Feel free to friend us on Facebook at CLU Wellness. Feel free to follow us on Twitter at CLU Wellness. And there's also ways that you can send in anonymous questions on the wellness website, which is www.callutheran.edu/wellness. And you can send in anonymous questions.
We really encourage that, by the way, because we really want to be helpful to you and relevant to you. And we want to protect your privacy.
Yeah.
And come and find us in mod number one, in the student life mod, which is across from Swenson. That's where the Wellness Center is located. And come get information or chat with us, pick up some safer sex materials. Yeah.
And as kind of like
candy.
And as kind of a final note, remember that things that we shared here today should not be taken as medical advice. We're here to talk about it. So we're so excited that we have the opportunity to chat with you every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And we're looking forward to continuing the show. Again, 805-703-ICLU. Thanks so much for listening to Unfiltered on ICLU Radio.